They went to the lawyer's room, one of several private cubbyholes with doors that shut and windows through which Link could do his observing, if he were so inclined. Gilroy Spicer was waiting and reading the daily sports section where he played the odds on college basketball. Trevor and Link stepped into the room together, and very quickly, Trevor removed two $20 bills and handed them to Link. The closed-circuit cameras couldn't see them if they did this just inside the door. As part of the routine, Spicer pretended not to see the transaction. Then the briefcase was opened and Link made a pretense of looking through it. He did this without touching a thing. Trevor removed a large manila envelope, which was sealed and marked in bold legal papers. Link took it and squeezed it to make sure it held only papers and not a gun or a bottle of pills. Then he gave it back. They'd done this dozens of times. Trumbull regulations required a guard to be present in the room when all papers were removed and all envelopes were opened. But the 220s got Link outside, where he posted himself at the door because there was simply nothing else to guard at the moment. He knew letters were being passed back and forth, and he didn't care. As long as Trevor didn't traffic in weapons or drugs, Link wouldn't get involved. The place had so many silly regulations anyway. He leaned on the door with his back to it, and before long was drifting into one of his many horse naps, one leg stiff, the other bent at the knee. In the lawyer's room, little legal work was being done. Spicer was still absorbed in point spreads. Most inmates welcomed their guests. Spicer only tolerated his.
"Got a call last night from the brother of Jeff Daggert," Trevor said. "The kid from Coral Gables."
"I know him,"
Spicer said, finally lowering his newspaper because money was on the horizon.
"He got 12 years in a drug conspiracy."
"Yep. His brother says that there's this ex-federal judge inside Trumbull who's looked over his papers and thinks he might be able to knock off a few years. This judge wants a fee. So Daggert calls his brother, who calls me."
Trevor removed his rumpled blue seersucker jacket and flung it on a chair. Spicer hated his bow tie.
"How much can they pay?
Have you guys quoted a fee?"
Trevor asked.
"Beach may have, I don't know. We try to get $5,000 for a 2255 reduction."
Spicer said this as if he had practiced criminal law in the federal courts for years. Truth was, the only time he'd actually seen a federal courtroom was the day he was sentenced.
"I know," Trevor said. "I'm not sure they can pay $5,000. The kid had a public defender for a lawyer."
"Then squeeze whatever you can, but get at least $1,000 up front. He's not a bad kid."
"You're getting soft, Joe Roy."
"No, I'm getting meaner."
And in fact, he was. Joe Roy was the managing partner of the Brethren. Yarber and Beach had the talent and the training, but they'd been too humiliated by their fall to have any ambition. Spicer, with no training and little talent, possessed enough manipulative skills to keep his colleagues on track. While they brooded, he dreamed of his comeback. Joe Roy opened a file and withdrew a check.
"Here's $1,000 to deposit. Come from a pen pal in Texas named Curtis."
"What's his potential?"
"Very good, I think. We're ready to bust Quince in Iowa."
Joe Roy withdrew a pretty lavender envelope, tightly sealed and addressed to Quince Garb in Bakers, Iowa.
"How much?"
Trevor asked, taking the envelope.
$100,000?
"Wow.
He's got it and he'll pay it. I've given him the wiring instructions. Alert the bank."
In 23 years of practicing law, Trevor had never earned a fee anywhere close to $33,000. Suddenly he could see it, touch it, and though he tried not to, he began spending it. $33,000 for doing nothing but shuttling mail.
"You really think this will work?"
he asked, mentally paying off the tab at Pete's bar and telling MasterCard to take this check and shove it. He'd keep the same car, his beloved Beetle, but he might spring for an air conditioner.
"Of course it will,"
Spicer said without a trace of doubt. He had two more letters, both written by Justice Yarber, posing as young Percy in rehab. Trevor took them with anticipation.
"Arkansas is at Kentucky tonight,"
Spicer said, returning to his newspaper.
"The line is 14. What do you think?"
"Much closer than that. Kentucky is very tough at home.
Are you in?
Are you?"
Trevor had a bookie at Pete's bar, and though he gambled little, he had learned to follow the lead of Justice Spicer.
"I'll put 100 on Arkansas," Spicer said.
"I think I will, too."
They played blackjack for half an hour, with Link occasionally glancing in and frowning his disapproval. Cards were prohibited during visitation, but who cared? Gilroy played the game hard because he was training for his next career. Poker and gin rummy were the favorites in the rec room, and Spicer often had trouble finding a blackjack opponent. Trevor wasn't particularly good, but he was always willing to play. It was, in Spicer's opinion, his only redeeming quality.